It was last night, 24th of March, but 1980, 25 years ago. On the very spot where I now stand, Archbishop Oscar Romero was shot through the heart with an assassin's bullet as he raised the bread at the offertory in the middle of Mass. This is El Salvador in Central America. I'm in the hospital chapel that was the scene of Romero's martyrdom, a killing carried out by a death squad linked to the armed forces. And it brought to a close the three dramatic years of Romero's prophetic pastoral ministry. 3 years, a public execution, a life laid down for his people. There's a beautiful parallel here with the life and death of Jesus, whose crucifixion we commemorate today. And we'll return to this chapel later on a reflective journey which tells the story of this extraordinary disciple of Christ as we meditate on Christ's passion.
Jesus of Nazareth was singled out by God and made known to you through miracles, portents, and signs which God worked among you through him. By the deliberate will and plan of God, he was given into your power, and you had him crucified and killed by men outside the law.
Lord Jesus, guide us on this journey today. Open our hearts to your Spirit and give us the courage, like your servant Oscar Romero, to follow faithfully in your footsteps.
Señor, ten piedad de nosotros.
Three black crosses marked the spot by the roadside. It was March 1977. Romero was just 3 weeks installed as Archbishop, the crucial turning point. I'm out in the countryside near a place called Aguilares, sugarcane estates and landless peasants. Here, Romero's friend, Father Rutilio Grandi, was shot dead, together with an old man and a young boy riding with him in his little Volkswagen. It was a spectacular intensification of the military repression, which the wealthy landowners were orchestrating to block the demands of poor campesinos for a better life. Romero had not been a popular appointment as Archbishop. He was bookish, timid, and highly conservative, and many of us had expected him to actually clamp down on socially committed priests and to disown the language of justice and rights. But with Rutilio's death, the scales fell from his eyes. Romero woke up with a start to the reality of repression and the defenselessness of these poor communities. He spoke out and he acted for the poor, and immediately he came under attack and began to receive threats. 2 weeks later, he wrote, "My new post has opened up a road towards Calvary." Well, he chose that road, just as Christ did, and it led him inexorably to his death.
Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar, and he claims to be Christ, a king."
Señor, ten piedad.
Con mil artes. hasta llegar los intérpretes de la Biblia a no saber si el siervo de Yahvé que proclama Isaías es el pueblo sufriente.
In one of his sermons, Romero said, "The servant of Yahweh is the suffering people, and it is Christ who comes to redeem us."
See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Many were appalled at him. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth.
With me now is John Sobrino, Jesuit priest and theologian, who knew Archbishop Romero well, and he's joining me on this journey today. John, Monsignor Romero knew his people, and he had no illusions about their plight. Tell us more about how he expressed his commitment to them.
When Archbishop Romero compare the suffering people with the servant of Yahweh, he was not quoting theology, not even reading the Bible. He was looking at real people suffering a lot. Concretely, I remember that in May 77, 2 months after the killing of Rutilio Grande, the military occupied the little town of Aguilares. During a month, around 100 peasants were killed. So Romero went to Aguilares as soon as he could. I went with him and with many others. The people had been tortured and massacred. And that is when he said, "You are the crucified people. You are like the suffering servant of Yahweh." Now, beyond that, he told the world that the poor do exist, told the world that it is a scandal, the gigantic cover-up on them. And of course, today we lack Romeros, but we don't lack suffering servant of Yahweh. 50 million people, more or less, died every year out of hunger or diseases related to hunger. I don't know how many millions died out of AIDS. We have seen tsunami. We have seen Iraq at times in the awful scenes of, say, terrorism, at times in the apparently scandalous and blasphemous and elegant ways of dropping bombs from the distance of 2,000 miles. Good Friday is the symbol of our world. I think that what Romero and Jesus, of course, tells us, don't think so much about us. We died, we were killed. But look at the planet Earth and ask yourself honestly, with so much democracies, so much globalization, so much advances in technology, the situation of the servant of Yahweh is improving or not. So today, when we remember respectfully the passion of Jesus, we should remember passionately the passion of our world.
Bellota blanca de algodón borda en la orilla del camino por donde van los campesinos, carreta, bueyes y sus hijos.
God, give us eyes to see the reality of this suffering world. Give us compassion to work and change it. And give us hope that one day that cross, those crosses, will become a big table when everybody will sit around it like brothers and sisters, children of the same God.
para que pasen mis hermanos. Camino que llevas, camino que va a esa patria celeste.
We've come now to San Salvador's Cathedral, a large light building, its doors open onto the noise of the city center. It stood unfinished in Romero's time, yet it was the physical focal point of the diocese and periodically the scene of occupation by mass organizations protesting against the repression. Above all, it was Romero's own space where he preached to packed congregations virtually every Sunday morning. He not only broke open the scriptures in the context of El Salvador, but ended with an analysis of the week's good news and bad news. The homilies were broadcast over the radio and listened to avidly by friend and foe alike.
Es que estas homilías quieren ser la voz de este pueblo. Quieren ser la voz de los que no tienen voz.
These homilies try to be the voice of the people. They try to be the voice of those who have no voice. So, it is not surprising that those who have too much voice don't like them at all.
Pilate says, "So then, you are a king?" Jesus answered, "It is you who say that I am a king. I came into the world for this, to bear witness to the truth, and all who are on the side of the truth, listen to my voice." At that, Pilate handed him over to be crucified.
John, Archbishop Romero's homilies were legendary. Why were they so important?
Because Archbishop Romero told the truth. In a world then and today, which covers up the truth, manipulates it, or silences it. He didn't say only people have been assassinated. He mentioned specifically all the names, whether it was three people or 35. And he mentioned as far as he could the names of the assassins. And he mentioned as far as he could some of the circumstances, the victims were very, very, very dear to him, as they are dear to God. The truth needed to be told because it is the first step to change the world. And what happens when people tell the truth? Those who have the power, those who don't want to change their life, those who like the world as it is, will react and will try to stop people telling the truth. That's what happened to Archbishop Romero. Good Friday, let's remember, that's what happened to Jesus of Nazareth. With his words of truth, Jesus brought consolation to the poor. He challenged those in power, authorities, who oppressed the poor. And he offered all of us conversion and the possibility of being joyful people if we really forget ourselves and dedicate our lives to others.
Vos sos el desplazado en la cruz, que has vencido la maldad del mundo, denunciando al injusto opresor, levantando del polvo a los pobres.
God, make us honest to listen to the word of truth of your Son, Jesus Christ, of Archbishop Romero, of the poor of the world, and give us your grace so that we can live according to that truth.
Vos sos el desplazado en la cruz,
masacrado por los poderosos. Hoy derramas tu sangre también en la sangre de nuestros caídos.
This is my commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. No one can have greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends.
Just before his death, Archbishop Romero gave a press interview in which he said,
"As a pastor, I am bound by divine command to give my life for those whom I love. And that is all Salvadorians, even those who are going to kill me."
We're back in the Hospitalito chapel, where Archbishop Romero was assassinated, directly beneath a huge figure of Christ on the cross. John, death, martyrdom. Tell us why.
It might sound strange, but Good Friday is, above all, a day to remember great love. There are people, we know them, fortunately, who love others, but they don't get killed. But if you love the oppressed people and defend them from their oppressors, then that type of love leads to death. As Bishop Romero said so many times, "You who lie, you who play with the lives of the poor, you who don't obey laws to make money and don't pay a minimum salary, you who don't feel compassion and live with hearts of stones when you see small children dying," and so on and so on. His last words, when he said, "In the name of God and in the name of these suffering peoples, I beg you, I order you, I command, stop repression." When love becomes defending people in this way, then of course death is very near. God did not send Jesus to suffer, to be crucified. God sent him to show a great love to people. And because he loved in a world which is cruel, he had to undergo death. And I think it is all important for us as Christians, believers, or as normal human beings to understand that very, very often in the world, love has a price to pay, so that our choice is loving or not loving, being ready to pay the price or not to pay the price. Romero, Jesus of Nazareth, and so many others pay the price. And for me, that would be the invitation for this Good Friday, just to remember that. Love is possible. Great love is possible. We have seen it.
Cordero de Dios que quitas los pecados del mundo, ten compasión de nosotros.
By now, it was about midday, and darkness fell over the whole land until 3 p.m. The sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And with these words, he died.
Cordero de Dios que quita los pecados del mundo.
No.
As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered it to be handed over. So Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone across the entrance and went away.
Oscar Romero's tomb is here in the crypt of the cathedral. John and I were both present at his funeral service on Palm Sunday 1980. It was never completed after bombs were hurled into the mourning crowd. 40 people were killed in the stampede, and amidst the confusion, Romero's body was hurriedly buried here in the crypt.
As a Christian, I do not believe in death without resurrection. If they kill me, I will rise again in the people of El Salvador. A bishop may die, but the Church of God, which is the people, will never die.
Streams of people come to pray at Romero's tomb every day. Together with the little house where he lived and the chapel where he died, it's a place of pilgrimage, a holy place. John, how did people react, and how do they continue to react today to Romero's death?
Well, some toasted with champagne, a few. Others, they cried for him as one cries for a mother or a father. And my guess is that the poor people of this country or similar countries who still suffer the loss of their beloved ones, their children, especially during the years of war, these people say, Romero loved us poor people. Romero was on our side when we were alone. Romero defended us when we were threatened. Now he is in heaven, but I know he still cares for us. One day I was asked by mothers of people who had disappeared or been killed to say a mass with them to remember Archbishop Romero. When I was leaving the house, the cook told me, Father, when you remember Romero, remember my son. Her son had been killed a few years before. And for her, just the thought that her son could be together with Romero brought consolation and dignity.
Dolor de los cuerpos que sufren enfermos, el hambre de gentes que no tienen pan, silencio de aquellos que callan por miedo, la pena del triste que está en soledad.
But I want to add one important thing. What would he tell us today? Well, we know what Jesus of Nazareth told people in his days. He told them, follow me. I don't think that Romero would say exactly, follow me. He would say, follow Jesus. Good Friday asks us, do we really believe that love to the end, up to the cross, is possible? Are we ready to make present in our world that type of love? And hopefully we can listen to these words of Jesus before he went to the cross. Do this in memory of me. Don't ever forget to love one another, even though that might lead you to a cross.
O God, give us your grace that on this Good Friday we can look at the cross of your Son Jesus Christ and at the cross of the world where Jesus Christ is so often re-crucified in the poor and dispossessed. May we be committed to taking the crucified peoples down from the cross and ensuring that others are not put up in their place.
Amen.
Señor, ten piedad.